Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
Don't ask, don't tell. That's my commitment to you.
On the carpet!
In the streets!
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 God will forgive you, but you need to admit that it is a sin. Homosexual marriage is something that could never happen, because homosexual behavior is sin.
They are literally voiceless, not yet with tongues, and perhaps even without names yet. They, too, require our most careful attention and radical support.
There are senators that have been involved with the slaughtering of innocent children. Our vice president goes to communion, and yet he has supported the sucking out of brains of babies.
When you look at public opinion, if you look at it over a long enough period of time, you sometimes see trends, changes in opinion. Now, what those changes mean is difficult to discern. One of the issues that's been much on the mind of the American public, whether they've wanted to think about it or not, is same-sex civil unions and same-sex marriage. The American mind appears, well, some would say split on this. I don't know if it is actually a split. There's a new survey on what Americans think about same-sex civil unions. We'll talk about that here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, October the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin talking with Greg Smith of the Pew Forum about this new poll on same-sex civil unions, and then we'll get Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse's reaction to the same survey. Later, we'll have on the show, we'll have Ken Samples alongside talking about conspiracy theories. Do they stand up to the rigor of the facts, and how do you dispute with someone who's got a bulletproof one, an ironclad one, a watertight one, where facts don't seem to matter, or every fact gets run through the theory and ends up somehow, at least in the mind of the conspiracy theorist, supporting the theory. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email with a question or a comment right here in the studio. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Greg Smith is senior researcher for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, D.C., and a regular guest. Greg, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Greg, have Americans changed their opinions, first about same-sex civil unions and second about same-sex marriage, in the last 6 years or so?
Well, when we look back over the long term, we do see an identifiable pattern in terms of people's attitudes about civil unions. Back in 2003, fewer than half of the people we interviewed told us that they favor allowing gay and lesbian couples to enter into civil unions, that is, agreements that give them many of the same rights as married couples. Support for civil unions has increased slowly but steadily over the last 6 years or so, and now it stands at 57%. That's an all-time high in surveys that we've conducted here at the Pew Research Center. So there has been a clear trend in towards more support for civil unions. At the same time, however, when it comes to gay marriage, while opinions have bounced around a little bit, we see that people today, people who oppose gay marriage outnumber people who favor it. That's true today, and it's been true every time we've surveyed for each of the last 6 years. In fact, it's striking just how similar, despite having bounced around a little bit, opinions are today compared with 6 years ago or so. Currently, a little more than half of people say they oppose gay marriage, somewhat less than 4 in 10 say that they favor gay marriage, and those numbers are very similar to what we saw back in 2003.
So at the very least, we might conclude, without drawing any conclusions beyond it, I think, that the American opinion is able to distinguish between same-sex marriage as a subject and same-sex civil unions as a subject?
That seems very clear. You see it both in terms of the patterns, the rising support for civil union, but not so much for gay marriage. We also see it within individuals and within groups. For instance, what I mean by that is if we look back and just compare our findings this year to last year, what we see is that support for civil unions has grown the most among gay marriage opponents. So what we do see in this survey is some softening, some increased support for civil unions among opponents of gay marriage. So yes, people can distinguish between these issues.
Are there any differences, first, on whether or not you ask a man or ask a woman on these things like same-sex civil unions or same-sex marriage?
There certainly are. We see that when it comes to gay marriage in particular, that women are more supportive of it than are men. The differences are smaller when it comes to civil unions. One of the other differences that we see in our survey that I find interesting are some of the religiously based differences. As you might expect, evangelical Protestants and people who attend church very regularly tend to be most opposed to both gay marriage and civil unions. However, I was struck by the pretty widespread support for civil unions among a variety of religious groups. Perhaps most notably, more than half of white Catholics who attend church every single week say that they favor civil unions.
What about age? I was looking at the figures here, and I noticed that there's almost a complete flip-flop depending on whether you're younger than 30 or older than 30 on the issue of gay marriage.
That's exactly right. When it comes to gay marriage, most people who are under the age of 30, 58% in this most recent poll, tell us that they support making gay marriages legal. Among every other age group, we see support at less than half. We see a similar trend when it comes to civil unions. Among people who are under the age of 30, fully two-thirds tell us they are in favor of legalizing civil unions. Support is less strong among people in every other age group.
What about, and this has become a significant distinction in a lot of the polling with regard to religious survey recipients, and that is whether or not they regularly attend services in their particular religion. What do you see there in terms of results?
That's right. Well, people who attend religious services most often tend to be least sympathetic both to gay marriages and to civil unions. However, it should be pointed out that, let's say, people who attend religious services on at least a weekly basis are much more supportive of civil unions than they are of gay marriage. Only 22% of weekly churchgoers favor gay marriage. That's almost twice as high, 40%, when it comes to civil unions.
Are there regional differences here?
There certainly are. People who live in the South and in the Midwest tend to be less supportive of gay marriage. And in fact, in those regions, opponents clearly outnumber supporters of gay marriage. By contrast, in the Northeast and in the West, opinion is about evenly divided on the issue, with half of people expressing support for gay marriage and half expressing opposition.
I know you're not in the business of drawing conclusions, but I want your opinion on one that I am tempted to draw here, and that is that over the last 5 or 6 years, generally speaking, the American public is starting to warm to the idea of civil unions as a viable political alternative to legalization of full-blown same-sex marriage.
I think it's certainly fair to say that over the last 6 years or so, opinion certainly has moved in the direction of more support for civil unions. I also do think that there's evidence that this is a political phenomena that we're seeing at work here. And the reason I say that is that one of the questions we asked on the survey relates to the morality of homosexual behavior. We asked people whether or not they think homosexual behavior is morally wrong, morally acceptable, or not a moral issue. And what we find is that opinions on that issue have changed hardly at all over the last couple of years. About half of people say they think homosexuality is morally wrong. Almost as many say that it's either morally acceptable or not a moral issue. So what we're seeing here is movement on the political issue of civil unions, but much less so when it comes to either gay marriage or to the morality of homosexual behavior.
If you were to kind of write the one-sentence summary of where the American public seems to stand and where the American public seems to be going on the issue of same-sex civil unions, how would it read?
I would say most Americans favor civil unions, but most oppose same-sex marriage.
Do you expect the trend to continue with rising rising approval of same-sex civil unions and static numbers with regard to same-sex marriage?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I think it'll be really interesting to see. And, you know, one of the things that will, over the extended long term, contribute to what happens to opinions on this issue is what happens to the views of young people. Will people who are currently, for instance, too young to participate in our surveys right now be more supportive or less supportive of these issues than people who are adults now? So I think that young people will hold the key to that in many respects.
One final question, and that is, are there any plans at the Pew Forum for following up on this, and when will we see the next set of numbers with regard to American opinion on same-sex civil unions and same-sex marriage?
Well, I don't have a firm date on when we'll conduct our next survey that will include these questions, but it's certainly, I would say, safe to assume that we will continue to monitor these regularly, just as we have over the last 6 or 8 years. I certainly would look for updated findings on this issue over the next, let's say, 6 months to a year.
Greg Smith is senior researcher for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, D.C. You can read the new Pew Forum poll on same-sex civil unions under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Greg, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back, we'll get a reaction to this poll from Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute. Stay tuned.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial will match 50 cents on each dollar you donate to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. So if you donate $300 to Lutheran Public Radio, Thrivent will send us an additional check for $150. For more information, look for the Thrivent Giving Plus gift form under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Make your gift to us go further with Thrivent Giving Plus.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click Promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click Donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in word and sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. Well, we got the facts from Greg Smith of the Pew Forum. Fairly complete set of the facts on what appears to be rising support among the American people for same-sex civil unions and kind of static numbers, largely opposition, at least a majority of Americans, on same-sex marriage. I have something in the nomenclature there maybe we should pay attention to. Joining us to react to this survey, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, we got the facts from Greg Smith of Pew Forum just a moment ago. How do you interpret them? What does the new survey and its results say to you?
Well, you know, there are a couple ways to interpret it. It's like there are two big facts. One big fact is that support for civil unions is increasing. But the other big fact is that support for same-sex marriage is pretty much static. So viewed from the perspective of somebody who participated in the California Proposition 8 campaign, the advocates of same-sex marriage poured $40 million into California to try to increase support for same-sex marriage, and those numbers have not budged a bit. And in fact, there was a period of time, you guys didn't discuss this, but it's buried in the report there. There was a period of time last April when support for same-sex marriage itself actually had dropped off a bit. And so I'm not quite sure what we're seeing here, Todd, whether we're seeing a genuine increase in support for civil unions or whether we're seeing people say, enough already, I'm sick of this issue, let's give them civil unions and let's all go home and talk about something else. We've got health care, we've got Afghanistan, we've got other stuff to talk about. Get this gay stuff out of here and just let's give them their civil unions and forget it. So there may be some of that, but it's really, I think, a little bit tricky to try to interpret or extrapolate a long-term trend out of these particular numbers. It's really striking that support for same-sex marriage itself has stagnated really pretty completely.
Well, one of the things that Greg Smith was willing to say there was that the American people can distinguish between same-sex civil unions and same-sex marriage. Do you agree? And if they can make that distinction, is that a distinction they should be making? Is there really a distinction between the two?
That's a very good question. I heard him say that because I was tuning in and listening to your conversation with him. And I have to say, I'm not sure what to make of this fact that people are making the distinction. The one point could be what I just said to you a minute ago, that people are saying, okay, this is my compromise position, and I don't want to think about it anymore. Let's move on. But the other thing that I think people need to keep in mind is that for supporters of same-sex marriage, supporters and opponents view civil unions, I think, very differently, and I think this is what people should think about as they're deciding how they stack themselves up on these questions. I think for many people who intuitively believe that marriage has something to do with gender and that marriage is between a man and a woman, a lot of people view civil unions as a compromise that allows same-sex couples to solve their practical problems without conceding the main principle that marriage is between a man and a woman. So I think there are a lot of people who if push came to shove, they would be against same-sex marriage. A lot of them view civil unions as a compromise position. But I think the situation for advocates of same-sex marriage is quite different. I think they view civil unions not as a compromise, not as an endpoint, not as a stable long-term political compromise. They view civil unions as a stepping stone to the whole enchilada, which for them is same-sex marriage. And then not only same-sex marriage, but also the whole power of the state wheeled into action to enforce the view that marriage is a gender-neutral institution and to make all of the changes throughout education and religion and everything else that would be required to enforce the view that marriage is a gender-neutral institution. The people who favor same-sex marriage, that's where they're headed. They're not just stopping at same-sex marriage, and they're, I think, for sure not going to stop at civil unions. So I think it's very important for people to keep in mind that civil unions two groups of people are using the same word, but they may be meaning something quite different. And so when you decide, am I in favor of civil unions or not, you need to ask yourself, well, do I think this is the end of, is this the end of the line, or is this train still moving, and I'm going to want to hop off the train soon?
Okay, let's say that because, of course, President Obama has been quite clear, especially in recent days, that he opposes same-sex marriage as a legal entity, but he is in favor of same-sex civil unions. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that he wants to get something done, and he starts to push for this either, you know, state by state or nationally or something like that. In your opinion, is that a valid compromise? Is that something that we can give without touching marriage as an institution?
You know, I think Obama is a perfect example of somebody that I would not be willing to make this kind of compromise with. You know, in other words, I think that it would be naive for somebody to say, oh, President Obama just wants civil unions and nothing more. I mean, in point of fact, he has endorsed many other aspects of the gay rights agenda, including the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And that is significant because these so-called anti-discrimination bills, in fact, impose quite serious constraints on people who have doubts about the morality of homosexuality, which, according to the Pew survey, is the majority of people. You know, I mean, didn't your previous guest just say that? You know, that the majority of American people think homosexual activity is morally problematic. Well, you wouldn't be allowed to act on that view. You wouldn't be allowed to say, you know, I don't want to rent my house to a same-sex couple. I don't, you know, there are a variety of things you might not want to participate in that if you're in business, doing business with the public, that you're going to be required to participate in. And so it's not, I think it's naive to think that you could have civil unions and not have anything more, given the current climate of opinion and the current other set of political wheels that are already in motion around these issues. So if I were voting in Congress, if I were sitting in there and I was going to vote yes or no on a proposal from the president on civil unions, I would certainly vote against any civil union compromise that he came up with, just because I wouldn't believe that was the end of the line.
You have said it many times before, and I would like you to say it again, at least in brief form. You have asserted that this debate is not just about whether marriage is defined as one man and one woman. It is elemental to the definition of marriage and its place in civil society. What do you mean by this?
Well, you know, to say that marriage has nothing to do with gender is really to make quite a fantastic leap, you know, and to say that we don't need any institution that attaches mothers and fathers to their children, and that biology will no longer be the principal way by which we do attach mothers and fathers to their children. I mean, the key social function of marriage has always been to attach mothers and fathers to their children and to one another. That's what marriage does. That's what marriage is. And the reason that we need to do that is because children are helpless parties, they're defenseless parties, and we have to act in their interest in advance. We can't just wait for their rights to be violated and then rush in and try to take care of it. Children are entitled to have a relationship with both of their parents, and marriage is the institution that societies have come up with to assure that need is met and that entitlement of children is met and is met routinely, and not just after the fact by some kind of after the fact intervention in case people's rights have been harmed. And so what redefining marriage does is to change the whole relationship between marriage and parenthood and the rest of civil society into something where childbearing and child rearing is really peripheral then to the social purposes of marriage. And we've seen already the Iowa Supreme Court in its decision came right out and said that, you know, that, you know, there are a whole bunch of other purposes of marriage, but attaching children to their parents is not on the short list of purposes that the Iowa court came up with. So that's giving us a glimpse of what's ahead if we allow marriage to be redefined.
With only 30 seconds, if we hear advocates of gay marriage touting the survey results saying, look, American public opinion is swinging our direction. People want gay marriage. How should we respond in less than 30 seconds?
Well, people do not want gay marriage. The majority of Americans still oppose gay marriage, if you ask them that question. And I think the real challenge is to address the views of the young who are leaning towards same-sex marriage, and that's one of the reasons that the Ruth Institute exists, is to try to bring the message of lifelong married love to college students, whatever their religious persuasion might be, to help young people to understand the social purpose of marriage and how marriage works in their own personal lives as well.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest, founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Check out her website by going first to our website, issuesetc.org. When you click on demand, you'll find a link there to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute. issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Jen, thank you again.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, conspiracy theories, they're everywhere. And lest you think they belong exclusively to the Michael Moores of this world, they are very popular among Christians. Sad to say, very popular among Christians. It is not only the subject of crazy midnight radio. It is, in fact, in some ways, kind of woven into our culture. Of course, people like Dan Brown and others have made a lot of hay advancing their own cockamamie theories about what happened in the past, what's going on now. What do all conspiracy theories have in common? Why do they seem, at least in the minds of those who hold to them, so watertight that even the facts can't get in? We'll talk about conspiracy theories with Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe after this.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskuta, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuta, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesetc.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
The National Education Association and Abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Though most Americans think of the National Education Association as an organization for teachers addressing school-related issues, the group often takes political positions. Since Roe v. Wade, the NEA has been strongly pro-abortion, even calling for school-based family planning clinics for public school students. Every year at the annual meeting, pro-life members introduce a measure proposing that the union retreat from its pro-abortion stance. According to the Education Reporter, support for the proposal at the 2009 meeting is up 15% from previous years. Although not passed yet, this is encouraging news.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.